This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The FIFA 2022 World Cup has kicked off today in Qatar, and widespread criticism of its attitude towards LGBT people.
In Qatar, there is Sharia law.
They say that human rights are important and that competing nations must oblige.
People have a right to love who they want, to dress the way they want, to be treated as equal citizens under the law.
Human rights, okay, great, according to whose definition? Right, your definition, her definition, she said it. Human rights, which she supports, is about the right to choose to dress. And yet, she is the person who said, I think every secularist and women's rights defender should support a burqa and niqab ban. So clearly, she's a hypocrite when it comes to Muslims choosing what they want to wear. She can tell Muslim women what to do. They can't tell themselves what to do. So you are a hypocrite, madam.
I think banning things that are detrimental to human rights and human values is actually a step in the direction of defending human rights.
A twisted argument worthy of the Chinese government banning people going to mosques, banning Qurans, banning a whole number of things in the name of defending Chinese values and rights.
So 50% of Muslims who live here in the UK would like to see homosexuality made illegal here in the UK. Now, I worry.
Must I condemn my own religion to live here?
Well, that's your choice.
Robbie Williams, Naomi Campbell, they've all taken the 30 pieces of silver from Qatar. They've been bought by Qatar. They've sold their principles for money.
The Islamic perspective is a worldview based on the creator of the universe being the source of good and bad.
And you can have up to three wives, is it?
Four.
Four wives?
You have a million girlfriends and cheating your wife in the West.
What about this?
Women get stoned in the streets in some of these countries. Yes. Where's the decency? Where's the public decency there?
For people to go out on the street and somehow to stone women, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. When gay people are determined as a separate group from straight people now. You now make these new groups up, which the West did, and then it began. That's when discrimination began. The West discriminated.
I'm sorry, but by your account, they just ceased.
You can't just ride roughshod on people's beliefs and ideas without making a solid argument. If you say something is human right, show us from philosophical first principles why it is universal and even rational. I know you have an axe to grind because you're ex-Muslim. I'm ex-Christian, but I've got over it. Who says you have a right to commit adultery and cheat on your partner?
Who says you can stone someone to death because they have sex outside of marriage?
The state has the monopoly.
How dare you say that someone should be stoned?
Apart from your umbrage and, this is against the Western values that I've learned and imbibed. I'm sorry, you need a better argument.
People can have whatever the beliefs they want, but they cannot shove those beliefs down people's throats. Listen, you are defending killing people, so don't you dare tell me I take my advice.
Give the whataboutery then. Yes.
No. Be consistent. When you criticise someone else, have consistent principles. It's not water battery. I demand from you, madam, and you, sirs, consistency when you criticise, you to hold to the same principles
you
yourself.
The FIFA 2022 World Cup has kicked off today in Qatar, with England having just won its first match against Iran. But this is not a World Cup like any other. The competition has been mired in controversy since it came to light that the wealthy Gulf state bribed FIFA officials and international governments into supporting its bid to host. Since then, focus on the country has intensified, with reports of thousands of migrant workers dying while building the event's infrastructure and widespread criticism of its attitude towards LGBT people. So much so that 60% of Brits believe that Qatar should not have been allowed to host the World Cup in the first place. And now that it is, almost 40% think that we should boycott the competition entirely. Since yesterday's opening ceremony, the event has gotten off to a rocky start, with Qatari officials banning alcohol from the stadium just 2 days before the first match, and FIFA threatening to give yellow cards to players wearing One Love inclusivity armbands. So, is it a mistake to get involved? Should players, commentators and celebrities be out there in Qatar right now endorsing the World Cup? And what about you at home? Should you be watching? That's what we're asking the table tonight. And to answer that question, I'm joined by veteran LGBT rights campaigner Peter Tatchell, Iranian human rights activist Mariam Namazi, Talk TV host Christo Fufas, and co-founder of the Muslim Debate Initiative, Abdullah Al-Andalusi. So, let's get into it,
should we have boycotted the Games? Peter, I'll start with you.
Well, there's no doubt that hosting an event like the World Cup is a privilege, not a right. And with that privilege come certain obligations. FIFA's own statutes prioritise human rights. They say that human rights are important and that competing nations must oblige and abide by them. Now, if you look at these particular games, you can see that despite the pledge of FIFA that no discrimination will be allowed, in fact, there are seven competing nations where homosexuality is totally illegal. And if a star footballer from any of those seven nations was outed as gay or came out voluntarily, he would almost certainly be jailed rather than be selected to play for the national team. So that is discrimination. It's against FIFA's rules, but FIFA is allowing it to happen.
Okay, interesting. I feel like there was some reaction over here, Abdullah.
That's actually true from Qatari law. They don't recognise a term called heterosexual or homosexual. These are Western terms. And so they wouldn't imprison anybody who comes says, I'm homosexual, because it's meaningless according to Qatari law, being heterosexual or homosexual, bisexual, what have you. So that's actually incorrect. As for sports and human rights, well, I suppose some might argue that it's about the sports, about the game. It's not about anything political around it. You're just bringing that in to kind of just stir the pot a little bit. But another argument could be made that human rights, okay, great, according to whose definition? Right, your definition, her definition, England's definition. If you took out all the players of all the teams, or you took out all the teams who their nations were involved in human rights abuses, you'd have no one, maybe except maybe Benin, perhaps playing. But most of the countries would have to be withdrawn because most countries are guilty of what you might human rights violations by your definition and by many other people's definitions.
Can I just pick you up?
Sure.
In Qatar, people are picked up on the street, on the metro, and in shopping malls because they are perceived to be gay. Not even proven to be gay, but they're arrested on the assumption that they look or their mannerisms are of a gay nature. And they are then subjected to brutal interrogations. Human Rights Watch has reported a whole series of cases where LGBT plus people have not been arrested because of sexual acts, but because of who they are, because of their identity. On top of that, when you talk about human rights, I'm not seeking to impose Western values on Qatar or any country. I'm asking all the countries of the world to uphold the principle of universal human rights, which apply here in Britain, as well as in Qatar. And as a member of the United Nations, Qatar is signed up to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which says that every person is entitled to equal treatment and protection against discrimination. But it's not doing that regard to migrant workers, women, or LGBT.
I'm no defender of Qatar. I'm no defender of many of the countries in the Middle East. I'm actually a very strong critic of them. I don't think they actually are fully Islamic, actually. There's a pretensions to be. But I think what you said is, now as for what the Qatar security forces do, maybe that's debatable and disputable. I'm not the defendant of Qatar. However, according to Qatari law, there is no crime for identifying as homosexual or heterosexual, whatever, because the terms are not recognised. These are Western terms introduced in the 19th century, before which, from most of human history, there was no term for someone who had a desire of any particular kind, sexually speaking. There wasn't those terms. These are anachronistic, brand new. They were actually, unfortunately, exported to the Muslim world by colonialist West activities. So they've got nothing to do with Islam, got nothing to do with Qatar law. Now, I'm only talking about Qatar law here, right? As for what Qatar does, the state, you know, you can debate that, discuss that, everyone will give you a different answer, perhaps, but I'm only here to talk about Qatar law and also Islamic law as well.
Okay, let's have Marion interject.
I think the issue is that there is no Western homosexuality and Qatari homosexuality, or being a woman in the UK versus being a woman in Iran or Qatar. You know, these are characteristics of people based on sex, based on sexuality, and people have a right to love who they want, to dress the way they want, to be treated as equal citizens under the law. Now, in Qatar, there is Sharia law, and it's not just a question of discrimination against gay people and LGBT, but also women are considered second-class citizens. For example, under Sharia, like in Iran, like in Saudi Arabia, like in Sharia courts here in Britain, a woman's testimony is worth half of that of a man's. Women have very limited rights to divorce and child custody. This is not about Western versus Eastern, because there are many women, many gay people who live in Qatar, who live in Iran, who live in Saudi Arabia, who are fighting for their rights and for basic human dignity. So I think the issue here is about human rights, not Western, not Eastern human rights, universal human rights. And I think all those people who are in jail in Iran or in Qatar or in Saudi Arabia and who are being abused and mistreated because they're gay, because they're women, because they're religious minorities, sexual minorities, they would beg to differ that this is, you know, a Western thing. No, because they want that dignity here and now. And I think when we stand with, you know, it's a choice. You either stand with the Qatari state, the Iranian state, the Saudi state, in its abuse of and discrimination against and violence against women, LGBT migrant workers, or you stand with those who want their basic human rights. And I think from our perspective, human rights matters. Of course, you don't want to ruin football for fans. Football and sports should be a way in which people all over the world unite with each other.
But the fact is, sorry, don't talk over me. I know you're used to doing that, but don't do it. We're just talking. No, I haven't finished.
But the point is that, look, you know, there sports is meant to go beyond all of that, but we can also use sports as a way of bringing human rights up for everyone, respecting human rights up for everyone. And I think that is a job of FIFA. That is a job of the World Cup. And, for, you know, from my perspective as an Iranian, you have the Iranian regime now massacring protesters on the street. So it's not good enough to say this is a game. We carry on with business as usual. While people are dying, and the Islamic regime is allowed to be at the World Cup.
But also, I think what we need to bear in mind is that Qatar have given assurances, albeit vague, assurances that, you know, everyone would be welcome. And now it feels like actually things are shifting right now, close to the, well, 48 hours we saw before, where they're saying actually, because it's FIFA that have said the one love armbands can't be worn, because they're seeing it as a political statement. Now, they've known about this. FIFA have known about these armbands for a long time. So the Qatari government would have known about this for a long time. The same with the beer. They knew this back when the contract was awarded, when the World Cup was awarded. Why are they making that decision now? It feels like, and a Doha insider said, apparently it's a big FU to the West to be like, we'll do things our way now.
Well, firstly, before I answer that, I want to answer something she said was quite egregious. She said it. Human rights, which she supports, ostensibly, as she claims, a Western definition of it, is about the right to choose to dress. And yet, she is the person who said, a couple of years ago, that she would ban the burqa, and she said that, I think every secularist and women's rights defender should support a burqa and niqab ban. So clearly, she's a hypocrite when it comes to Muslims choosing what they want to wear, because she feels that Muslim women making that choice is somehow subjugating themselves, and she knows better. She can tell Muslim women what to do. They can't tell themselves what to do. So you are a hypocrite, madam.
I think, stop pointing your finger at me.
Why not?
I mean, the point is, look, of course women have the right to a veil. Everyone has the right to clothing. The point of the burqa is that it's a body bag on women. If men are so offended by women's hair and bodies, you know, there are these masks that they put on donkeys so that their eyes will be covered. Men are free to wear those if they are so offended by women's hair and bodies. The point of the, it's not that women don't have the right to wear the veil or the right not to wear it if they choose. The point is that in countries under Islamic law, women don't have that right to unveil. They're imprisoned. As we know in Iran, Mahsa Amini, a 22-year-old Kurdish woman, was recently killed because a few strands of her hair were showing. The difference is, though, with the burqa, it is a female body bag. It is a fabric erasure of women from the public space.
And also it reduces women to sexual objects because men must desire them, and it also reduces men to being the kind of people that can't control themselves around women.
And a nudist might make the same argument. A nudist might say that all those clothes you're wearing are body bags, which are sexualizing the human being. And only if we embrace nudism, and everyone should be deprived of the right to wear clothes to protect them from subjugation, then they can be liberated and desexualized. So that same silly argument you made, and then a nudist could sit here, probably hopefully with clothes on, and make the same argument against you guys, that you're all wearing body bags and all kinds of clothes. So this is ridiculous. Why can't women choose? Why can't women choose to wear the niqab? Why do you support the ban,
Maria? I think that's an interesting question. But aren't we all saying, it sounds like we're all saying, pro-choice? We want the woman to have the choice. The issue is when they don't have the choice.
No, Amelia's highlighting her double standards and hypocrisy. She says
it's not because
rights about people having the right to choose what to dress, except Muslim women who want to wear niqab they feel more protected.
She's just said three times.
My family is. I have a family who are Muslim. Some in my family are veiled. This is not the point. The point is, look, you can be opposed to FGM, for example, because it is a violent way of controlling and degrading and violating women's bodies. That's not the same as attacking women and girls who are mutilated. It's the same with breast ironing. It's the same with foot binding. These are ways of controlling and denying women's bodily autonomy. The veil is very different from the burqa and niqab, and I think that if men who promoted the burqa and niqab actually wore that, they wouldn't be as supportive of it. And also, the burqa and niqab are very much an Islamist flag, which is why they are so supportive of it constantly. And if you imagine walking around in something like that where you can't see, where your movement is restricted.
So can I just jump in to say, I think we're arguing over your problem here, your contention is with the banning.
Is with her inconsistency when it comes to Muslims, denying Muslim rights in the West, and yet strongly calling for rights for people in, according to her definition, in the Muslim
world. Hang on, I thought this discussion was about the World Cup
and human rights.
And I think we're straying far away.
Can I just make a point, though? Sorry. Is that, look, when we defend human rights, we often call for bans. Mm-hmm. For example, the ban on smoking in public spaces because it's detrimental. Secondhand smoke is detrimental to public health. We call for a ban on child labor. Because you support a ban on torture, a ban on execution, because banning things that are detrimental to human rights and human values is actually a step in the direction of defending human rights. And it's the same with the burqa. The burqa is a body bag for women. It is women carrying that wall of gender segregation on their very backs. Mm-hmm. And therefore, calling for a ban is actually in line with defending women's rights and human rights.
Okay, let's close this.
A twisted argument worthy of the Chinese government, who wanted to get rid of extremism by banning people and going to mosques, banning Qurans, banning a whole number of things in the name of defending Chinese values and rights. So please spare us.
Nobody's supporting that.
Because I could make the same argument against you. I could say that society has a right to public decency, and therefore public displays of sex or sexual affection, more than just holding the hand, should be banned to protect people's rights to public decency. I can turn that argument right back against you. You see, anyone can make the argument that of banning anything because of I'm going to insert right here, and then that means I have to ban a whole bunch of things. So give me a justified basis by which Islamic rights, it makes sense, doesn't make sense, and Western rights is somehow rational,
Am I right in thinking that sometimes women get stoned in the streets in some of these countries? Yes. Where's the decency? Where's the public decency there?
In Qatar, just 6 weeks ago, a female university student was stoned to death in a so-called honour killing by her family because she didn't follow the strict way in which women are supposed to behave.
Does that law exist? Not
in Qatar. And that is...
It was not investigated by the Qatari authorities. The murderers got away with it.
Women get raped on the streets of UK all the time.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Murdered and raped. Should I now put that as an indictment against the West, or indictment against
the
Britain?
The problem
you see?
Is having
that's what you're doing. You're saying
Islamists.
Some criminals in the Muslim world do something bad. This must mean all Muslims are bad or Islam is bad.
It's not yet.
Your criminals do not represent your own state. Again, hypocrisy, double standards. Let's have a real conversation about Islam. Let's have a real conversation about what's happening in Qatar. Let's not having your axe to grind. No, you're saying you're ex-Muslim. You declare yourself ex-Muslim.
You insult that woman who was stoned to death.
I condemn the Qatari authorities.
The Qatari authorities did nothing to
spare me a false. I condemn it as much as I condemn women being raped and killed in the UK.
Peter,
stop interrupting.
Peter and Abdullah, we need on the table. We debate things, but we debate things in a way that is polite and respectful.
Yeah, but he's interrupting everybody all the time and shouting.
Let's try and just rein this in a bit, calm it down. I appreciate it's very heated. Let's try and bring it back to the Qatar World Cup.
I want to finish off this. That woman who was murdered by her own family in a so-called honour killing. The Qatari authorities have not investigated the murder. They have not brought the perpetrators to justice, even though her murder has been reported to them. And earlier this year, something similar happened to a young gay man, taken out into the desert by his family, beheaded and buried in a shallow grave. The Qatari authorities did nothing to investigate his murder either, even though they were informed about it.
And that's because
that's state sanction.
And that's unfortunately because in many of the extreme Islamic countries, we do see the state endorsing this sort of behaviour because
they're not Islamic countries.
Church and well, in that's in your opinion, but they have
no.
The
they have interest banking. Interest is condemned in the Quran.
But that is the problem that we have. Well, I'm just going to finish this point. That is the problem that I think that many of these extreme Islamic countries have. Now, back to the question of whether the World Cup should be banned. My worry about the World Cup being somewhere like Qatar is that the human rights, it legitimizes a country that has appalling human rights. Now, it's not the only country in the world that has appalling human rights. And I think there is a valid argument to say, like it or not, although we might be outraged by what happens there, if you go to a country like Qatar and their laws are that you can't show affection in the street, whether you are gay or straight or whatever, they should be respected. The issue is that we've not gone to Qatar. Qatar has come to us because a sporting event like this puts the country of Qatar right in our living rooms, in our laps.
Over 2 million
there.
People.
And it is a privilege to host one of these sorts of competitions. And I'm afraid to say that FIFA have lost the plot. They are an horrifically corrupt organisation. What I would like to see, you talk about the standard of human rights. Who makes the standard of human rights? Well, there is the World Human Freedom Index, for instance. They come up with, I think, 168 countries in the world. They come up with a ranking for their human rights based on the rights of women, based on the rights of gay people, based on the rights of migrant workers, based on all of these things. I would like to see the bottom 30% of that list, and I would love to see the FIFA, the Olympic Committee, all of those to say those countries do not get sporting events until they improve their score. Yeah. That way, it's an independent way of verifying who would qualify and who wouldn't, and it's an incentive for those countries to improve their human rights. Just one point that I want to just pick up on that you made, Abdullah, very quickly. Just because there isn't a law in Qatar to say that you can't be gay, I think you're concentrating on the semantics. That doesn't mean that the gay experiences of thousands of gay people, of migrant workers, of women in that country, you can't just dismiss their experiences. For instance,
I didn't dismiss them.
Well, you said that the law doesn't exist. That was your response. That's absolutely dreadful.
May I clarify what I said? What I said was that Muslim world generally before colonialism anyway, and Islamic law doesn't have a category for heterosexual or homosexual. What this means is you can't discriminate against a community you don't differentiate from anybody else, that we're all the same. That's Islamic law. Qatar law is somewhat influenced, but not entirely by Islamic law, and they've adopted that. They don't put homosexual, heterosexual in the law, and therefore there cannot be legal discriminations against them. However, here's the issue. As to what people experience in Qatar is a different discussion. Okay, we're here to talk about laws. Well, this is what the Qatari law is the case. They don't discriminate based on someone's professed identity, which has been mostly was invented in the 19th century to differentiate people into these new groups. Now, it didn't exist in the ancient world, didn't exist in the medieval world, didn't exist up
we
until...
We get that, but there's an interpretation today which is the problem. Mariam?
Well, first of all, there has always been gay people throughout history. It's not a Western colonial, invasion. You know, gay people came because of colonialism.
I didn't say that.
That's a falsity.
I did not say that. That's a lie.
Can you just stop for 5 minutes and listen?
Don't make lies about me.
You're lying through and through.
I didn't say that.
Just be quiet for a second while I talk. So the point is that, that there was no homosexuality, so there's no discrimination. No. That's not true. There's been historically homosexuality.
I think he meant that the laws didn't come till colonial times. Is that what you meant?
Well, yeah. What people did in Islamic law,
there's always been homosexuals.
It was not regulated by the state.
And there's always been homosexuals, and religious laws in general are discriminatory and homophobic, and Islamic law is no different. With regards on the issue of culture, I mean, I think it's not good enough to say, well, that's their culture, so this is the way they are and we need to respect it. Because if we look at history and changes that have been made throughout human history and for human progress, it has all been as a result of challenging laws and rules that are discriminatory, homophobic, violence against women. So we could say today we would still have slavery if there was not this fight against slavery. We could have said, but that's their culture. We have to accept it. Racial apartheid in South Africa, that was their culture. Not giving women the right to vote here in Britain, that was their culture. In that sense, I think cultures are not, first of all, they're not homogenous, they're not static, they're constantly moving, they're constantly being challenged. And we have to recognize that when we're talking about Qatar or Iran or Saudi Arabia or even Britain, there is a difference between the state and its laws and very often the impositions that are being imposed on the public versus those people who want to be gay, who want to be free, who want to be apostates and atheists and want to live without fear of their lives.
And let's not forget that, the 10 Islamic countries where if you 13. Are an apostate, 13 yes. in total, that yeah. you would be at worst
executed yeah.
by turning away from
And how many
Islam.
Executions have been happening in the last 50 years? How many apostates have been killed by the state in the last 50 years?
Tens of thousands in Iran, at least. No. In the 1980s.
85, there was one.
There was
in 88, they... In 88, they killed 5,000 to 10,000 political prisoners. They didn't have trials, any of those prisoners. They asked them, do you believe in God? If they said no, they went and shot them. Do you pray? They said no, they went and shot them. This is documented in a people's court called Iran Tribunal.
I'm going to just bring it back to the question now.
Sure.
Okay, back to the World Cup. We've obviously got very strong feelings here. So what was the right thing to do what was the right thing for the England World Cup, England football team, for example, to do? What's the right thing for fans to do? Should they be boycotting? What do we do? And is that the right thing to do to make a statement?
It'd be very unfair to simply ask the England team to boycott. You know, the only way that would really be effective is if a whole group of nations got together and collectively decided not to participate. But, you know, it's now too late. You know, the World Cup is underway. So, for me, the most important thing, the most effective thing that any of the teams can do is for their captains, in their post-match press conferences, to devote just 30 seconds to make a statement in support of the rights of Qatari women, LGBTs and migrant workers. Mm-hmm. That would be incredibly powerful. It would reach an audience of hundreds of millions across the world, raising public awareness, and very importantly, it would be an enormous psychological and emotional boost to Qatari people who support those human rights, who are striving in their own country for those kinds of freedoms. They want to hear that.
Totally agree. In fact, Gary Neville received an awful lot of heat for taking the job with beIN Sports, which is the Qatari channel. And he had his debut today, or yesterday, was it? And he actually did tear into these sorts of violations, and in fact, leaders worldwide, he got carried away, like talking about Trump. But I think actually he started to realise the error of his ways, potentially was trying to make that statement. Whether we're going to expect that, or whether we can expect that from the footballers,
David Beckham?
I mean, yeah, very disappointing from David Beckham.
Robbie Williams, Naomi Campbell, they've all taken the 30 pieces of silver from Qatar. They've been bought by Qatar. They've sold their principles for money. Mm-hmm. It's truly, truly shameful because the most important thing is they are betraying those people in Qatar who are suffering under that regime.
Who will have a terrible time as well when the dog and pony show all leaves and everyone say, you know, because at the moment, and it is fair to say that the Qatari authorities are all saying, well, look, everyone's welcome, we're not going to arrest anyone, it's all going to be fine, but what's going to happen when the World Cup has gone? That is going to be the real fear for gay people in Qatari who are often, as you have alluded to, entrapped by the authorities on gay dating apps. Let's not forget that the laws against sodomy and the like do exist. And if you are accused of such a thing in Qatar, so therefore, you know, you can be a good gay and not live like a gay person at all, and then you might just be okay. And so it's going to be awful for those people when this is all gone.
If I'd like to just chime in about the issue of the Qatar banning beer drinking. Now, they banned beer drinking before the World Cup. It's their laws. It's against taking intoxicants. For us, from an Islamic perspective, it's no difference to crack cocaine. In fact, alcohol kills more people than crack cocaine does, but and yet it's allowed in the West. They tried at some point to ban it, but it didn't work out so well.
Why do they allow it? I'm really confused. Why do they allow it in some parts of, say, Dubai, for example? It's allowed if you're wealthy enough to be able to frequent
all the corporate boxes that cost £22,000.
The Emirati government are hypocrites, and they don't really... some would say they don't really care so much about Islamic rules or laws anyway. Mm-hmm. They're here to make money. They've learned that from Western colonialism very well. But my point being is this, it's not about culture. It's not about some arbitrary set of traditions that people just happen to be with and we don't want to change them. No, the Islamic perspective is a worldview based on the creator of the universe being the source of good and bad. Good and bad has no meaning other than the purpose of human beings. What is good is your purpose, fulfilling your purpose. What is bad is going against your purpose. There is no definition. A good car is a car that fulfills its purpose. A bad car is, you know, so on and so forth. Good and bad has no meaning in the materialistic worldview that these guys inhabit, right? But they assert rights merely because it's whatever is currently in vogue in the West. And that's why, as Muslims, we would disagree. We'd say, look, give us your arguments. We're up for debate. We're up for discussion. In fact, I tried to debate Maryam Nemansi once on a few things, and she actually backed out in a debate.
She's here now.
An open, great, exactly. Have an open debate. Have a discussion. Everything's up for discussion.
Okay.
But here's the thing. From the Islamic perspective, we believe that fornication, so any sex outside of marriage, is an abuse of the property of God, because the property owner does not give consent for it to be used in that sense.
Property,
so in a sense,
owner,
fornication. The issue is,
and you can have up to three wives, is it?
Four
wives.
You can have a million girlfriends and cheating your wife in the West.
What about this and people have a right. People have a right to their worldview. Of course, people have a right to be to their worldview. People have a right to religion, to be Muslim, to be atheist, apostates, blasphemers like myself. That's a basic human right. The point is, though, that when that view is part of the law and the state, which is the case in Iran, which is the case in Qatar, Saudi Arabia, we saw ISIS and its rules, then, you know, this idea that fornication is haram means that, therefore, stoning is permissible. And in Iran, it's not illegal to stone a woman to death, but the size of the stone is what's illegal. It needs to be, can't be too big so she dies too quickly, can't be too small so it takes too long. So alcohol is banned, but child marriage is okay. From the age of puberty, children can be married. A man can have four wives. Mm-hmm. In Shia Islam, you can have innumerable temporary wives as well. Men can have unilateral right to divorce. They say talaq, talaq, talaq three times. They're divorced. Women have very limited rights to divorce. Child custody is given to men at a preset age. Women need male guardians. So even if you don't have a husband or a father, your child, who's a boy, is your guardian. He can decide whether you can work, whether you can go out, whether you can travel, whether you can get a passport. male guardian decides that.
And so is any of that misrepresented?
Yes, quite a lot.
But which do you disagree with?
We'd need a whole hour to go through
which
all the things.
Which of those would you condemn out of all of that list?
Quite a few. I wish I made a list of all the things she said, but pretty much everything that she said is misrepresented.
So stoning women, you condemn that completely?
No, he just said... It's women's
property. She said that
property.
It's legal in Iran for people to go out on the street and somehow to stone women. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
That's the law. Stoning is the law.
I'm not a defender of the Iranian regime. Again, I'm not a non-Islamic regime.
Okay.
It allows interest banking as well, like the rest of them do, Saudi Arabia and many other countries.
We're talking about
women's
rights.
Even though it's strongly condemned in the Quran, very
ask
strongly.
Ask him about the women's rights,
but
my, please.
But the thing
that.
Is, we all believe that women
no,
and men
why
have rights.
Why are you dodging this?
Why aren't you
just answer.
Do you condemn?
Just answer.
I just want you to be able to give a real honest account for yourself here.
Thank you.
So on the women's stoning, for example, and women's rights, what's your interpretation of it then?
Men and women have rights.
Yes, they're complementary, they're not equal rights. Be honest.
Also, look
be
who's
honest.
Now speaking over
be
and cutting
honest.
In now
no,
and shouting.
Honest.
Okay,
yeah?
honest.
So,
come on, let's go. Let's
so you're all up for shouting and speaking over people when it suits you.
Be honest.
Okay?
So
anyway, but the point is this, that when we talk about discrimination, firstly, about gay people and so on, I don't think you understood my point. My point is that discrimination of gay people...
You're not
people,
answering the question
Let me just get to it.
Asking about the stoning of women.
I want to make one point, and I promise you I'll get right to that, my second point. Let me finish my first, OK? Because they're related, yeah? OK, thank you. So the first point is simply that when gay people are determined as a separate group from straight people now, you now make these new groups up, which the West did, and then it began, that's when discrimination began. Because once you label them as separate and different as the other, right, then you get to discriminate. The West discriminated.
I'm sorry, but by your account, they just ceased to exist. They're not recognised.
No.
So by then, you are already creating an other because they are not recognised in your religion, in your laws.
Let me give you an analogy, perhaps the best way of putting it. Islamic law doesn't care about Marmite lovers and Marmite haters. Do Marmite lovers exist? Yes. Do Marmite lovers, Marmite haters exist? Yes. Does Islamic law even care? No.
But if you eat the Marmite, you're fucked.
Islamic law does care.
No.
Islamic law does
care. What is prohibited the state can regulate is anyone who has sex in public, whether they're straight, they're homosexual, whether it's normal sex or sodomy, that's what's prohibited.
So people
in Islamic law,
excuse me, madam,
would you let me finish? Yeah. But now you're speaking over me. Let me finish, right?
So
in Islamic law, the state can't ask what's happened inside the privacy of your own home. It is not the business of the state. There are multiple. I can bring you multiple Islamic texts that argue that point. That's the first point. Now I want to get to the second point.
Just go back to that. The problem is that it feels like you are quoting text, and if it worked that way, great.
But text was the problem.
No, but if it worked this way,
for Islam, I'm not advocate for Qatar or Iran or any of those countries. I can only ever speak about. Under the Islamic perspective, I can't speak about defending Qatar. So now, Qatar has some influence from Islamic perspective. That's true. But the point is this. You can't just ride roughshod on people's beliefs and ideas without making a solid argument. If you say something is human right, show us from philosophical first principles why it is universal and even rational, idea.
Because one's a belief and one is inherently the way
He's not answering the question.
No, but it's good, but we're going to get
secondly,
back to
secondly, what could get... I just want the second answer. So there was a lot of words to say, I condemn women being stoned in any country. So I'm waiting for that.
Okay, so...
No, wait, because he's got to...
Excuse me, can I answer now? You like
go ahead, yes, please.
You really love...
You really have five minutes to answer.
All right.
Answer.
From the Islamic perspective, Islamic law, there's prohibitions on adultery, okay? If it's made, if a public adultery, which is virtually impossible to prove, it's more of a symbolic law, and because it's impossible to prove. The law is meant to scare people from being adulterous. And why do we, and it applies to both men and women, not to just women. Why do we only care if it only applies to women? It applies to men and women, right? Adulterers in Islamic law, from classical Islamic law, when they make their adultery public, which is virtually impossible. That's impossible.
It's
now you are lying about Islamic law.
It's also based on confession. You know that. You are not telling the truth.
Let me finish.
You can talk nonsense.
If someone wants to come and say, I'm an adulteress, stone me.
Yes, because if a woman is raped, if a woman has sex outside of marriage or is raped and becomes pregnant, she can be stoned for adultery because the pregnancy is proof.
Second of all,
if there are witnesses, that is proof.
Wait.
Is stoning part of Islamic law? Didn't Muhammad say in a hadith?
Okay, look, I know you have an axe to grind because you're ex-Muslim. I'm ex-Christian, but I've got over it.
Abdullah, we would settle this much quicker.
Just say you don't agree with stoning.
If you just answer the question, if you agree with stoning, that's your view and you're entitled to it. But give us a solid answer.
It's not my view. I'm only reporting Islamic law, which states that adulterers are executed if they make their adultery public.
Okay. Do you condemn the stoning of Islamic women or men even who make that public in the way in which you've described?
Are you telling me that do I condemn Islamic law?
Do you condemn people being stoned?
Well, that's what he's saying. He can't because
yes or no.
Wait a second. Why is it relevant?
Because you're here talking about this.
I'm telling you what Islamic law says.
You spent the last half an hour defending tyranny. That's what you've been doing.
Yes. Not really.
Yes.
Because who says you have a right to commit adultery and cheat on your partner?
Who says you can stone someone to death because they have sex outside of marriage?
The state has
do you understand that?
The state has the monopoly.
How dare you? How dare you say that someone should be stoned because they have sex outside of marriage? How dare you? I don't agree with executions in the US. I don't agree with executions anywhere. But you will accept executions if your economic law does it. How dare you? You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm just glad we got there. I'm glad we got there.
Finally.
I'm glad we got there.
I think it's sometimes what's not said that's most powerful.
Got there in the end.
Just one thing, you said homosexuality isn't illegal in Qatar, but under the Qatari Penal Code 2004, same-sex activity is punishable by up to 7 years in prison.
It's between 1 to 3 years, and it's
That's for sodomy.
For sodomy, and it's no different to fornication
is
between opposite sex.
Is 1 to 3 okay for
sex? Straight couples and same-sex couples get the same punishment.
Is even 5 minutes okay? Is even 5 minutes in prison okay? How about 10 minutes? How about, it's actually 2 months and 3 days. The point is, you cannot criminalize them.
Your umbrage and, this is against the Western values that I've learned and imbibed. I'm sorry, you need a better argument than simply say, look at this Muslim who won't condemn his own religion. I'm sorry.
I'm not
ashamed of my belief system.
Exactly.
We have a reason why we believe in God. Exactly. We have a reason why that we believe that good and bad is determined by the Creator.
You have a right to believe.
So you have to. So you can criticise if you don't like
it. No, you can believe what you want.
Produce an argument, but don't just simply say that Shibboleth questions: do you condemn your own religion or not?
Free will.
And whatever your religion is, whatever your choice is, we're going to judge you on
you
it.
Have free
no,
will. You have
give
free
me an
will.
Argument.
You
give
are making a decision to believe in that stuff. You have free will,
and
to
you
say,
have free will to believe in Western human rights or not.
But also the difference is...
I wish you could justify it.
But the difference is that if I don't like... Now, it's not a perfect system, I grant it, but if I don't like some of the human rights in this country, unlike Qatar, which is not democratic, I can say, right, well, OK, I get power once every 4 or 5 years. I can vote out...
Good luck in the party system getting power.
Well, anyway, it's better than nothing. It's better than there being this municipal council in Qatar that advises the royal family.
The problem with democracy is the majority that gives you your rights are the same majority that can take away your rights.
Oh, well, let's get rid of it then.
That's why England is not a democracy.
I think what's important to acknowledge and understand is the fact that we can all have whatever beliefs we want. That is not the issue. That is not the issue. We are not discussing that. People have a right to be Muslim, they have a right to be Satanist, they have a right to be political views, religious views, non-religious views. That is a fundamental human right. The point that we're making here today is about Qatar, and that when those laws, when those beliefs, in any sort of beliefs, become part of the law and the state, we have to recognize the fact that not everyone has those beliefs, because the reality is that even for many Muslims, the laws against homosexuals is intolerable, because there are many gay people who live in countries under Islamic rule. The law of stoning is considered intolerable. So, and there are lots of people fighting against these laws in the Middle East, in North Africa, in South Asia, against religion in political power. That's the point we're making. So people can have whatever the beliefs they want, but they cannot shove those beliefs down people's throats in the law.
I wish you took your advice, Mariam.
And also, listen, you are defending killing people, so don't you dare tell me I take my advice. You have sat there defending.
You have defended the burqa, and you dare.
You dare defend stoning of women and men to death.
Tell Muslims about rights.
How dare you even speak to any? How dare you even speak about rights?
The point you are defending is when the state endorses
you are defending that. You are an Islamist that defends the murder.
Does not endorse a particular moral worldview to base its laws upon.
But then there is the democratic right to try and change.
We're going to move on. It's very inflammatory. It's been really interesting debate, but it's getting very heated. Let's try and move on from LGBT and Islam. So what about the migrant workers? Let's go back to them. So 6,400, 500, I think, lost their lives in the build-up to the World Cup where they were building the infrastructure. Is that a big enough cause on its own to boycott?
Well, certainly it's a cause that has been disgracefully neglected by both Qatar and FIFA. We have that 6,500 migrant workers dead in the last 12 years. Many of the families, most of the families, are still waiting for the promised compensation. Even today, migrant workers often complain of unpaid wages, being forced to live in overcrowded slum hostels. And I've seen the pictures of up to 8 men or sometimes 10 men living in a room 10 by 8 with bunk beds. I mean, it's Dickensian. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, although there have been some reforms to the Khalifa system, still workers complain that they're denied permission to change jobs to escape abusive employers. Now, that is completely not what FIFA and Qatar promised when Qatar got the World Cup. Mm-hmm. They promised substantive reforms. There have been a bit of tinkering. Yes, in theory, the law is better. That's true. But in practice, it's often not.
Agreed. Agreed. In fact, we had a very embarrassing speech, I think it was today, by FIFA President Gianni Infantino, who tried to unite people, I think, and he stared down the camera during a press conference and he said, "I am Qatari. I am a migrant. I am gay.
I feel gay. I feel disabled."
This is it. Sorry, I feel. Actually, he forgot women. He was reminded by the person to his left or whatever.
Hilarious.
But he's. I think FIFA have massively. They've massively misjudged this hugely, and obviously we understand that there was a whole string of corruption around why Qatar were given the World Cup in the first place. But my
big fear is as well, though, that Qatar getting this sort of it legitimizes all of this stuff that's going on, and it actually legitimizes it in other countries as well. Other countries might look at it and think, well, hey, that's all right. There was a survey that said that I do not believe by any means, by the way, and I think this is a really important point. There are millions, billions of people who have the Islamic faith worldwide who are, I would consider, moderate, who do not subscribe to what we hear from extreme Islamic countries. But five or six years ago, there was the survey in 2016 saying that 52% of Muslims who live here in the UK would like to see homosexuality made illegal here in the UK. Now, I worry that when a big sporting event like that is taking place in Qatar, it legitimizes those sorts of opinion.
Okay, we'll come back to that topic again, it seems.
Okay, let's just take the wider picture here.
Sure.
Rather than just LGBT.
I'd say if we decided to, boycott any particular country for its rights abuses, let's say England, they say, well, you know, wars around the world, bombing Afghanistan, wars in Iraq, America.
Thank goodness we voted out those governments.
How long list you've got? We don't only hold the World Cup in maybe Ireland and Switzerland, basically, because. Even then there might be issues. But so this is the issue, is that if we are going to raise the question as to whether we should associate our popular sporting events with countries we disagree, we have to be consistent about it. Mm. My only argument to the other side in this, whoever the other side might be, is just consistency. It's not whataboutery. It's like, you have a position, fine, apply it consistently. Don't just say, we'll make an exception for us, but for these Muslim countries and these third world people and these former colonies, we're going to be really hard on you guys on insisting on standards.
Sorry, I don't know. You were talking about, for example, we were condemning, or I was personally condemning, you know, having three or four wives, or as you refer to them, property. Now,
did I refer to them as property?
Yes, you did. Yes. You did.
I referred to wives as property.
Yes, you said it. We've got it on camera.
Yeah.
So, I said wives are property.
You referred to women being property.
From the Islamic perspective, we believe that fornication, so any sex outside of marriage, is an abuse of the property of God, because the property owner does not give consent for it to be used in that sense.
Property,
so in a sense,
owner,
fornication.
That's women.
The issue is.
And you can have up to three wives, is it?
Four.
We were condemning, or I was personally condemning, you know, having three or four wives, or as you refer to them, property.
Did I refer to them as property?
Yes, you did. You did.
I referred to wives as property.
Yes, you said it. We've got it on camera.
I said wives are property.
You referred to women being property.
Property of God.
Okay.
God owns all of us only. Like, God owns me. God owns... I'm property of God.
Okay.
I don't mean property of human beings.
So, for example, you were defending having four wives, but you were countering that with, well, over here we can go and we can be unfaithful and we can cheat on our partners. There's a difference there. One is enshrined in law, and the other one is someone making terrible bloody decisions.
Okay, well, here's the thing, right? If you believe that people should have the right to choose and consent and so on and so on and so forth, then if people want to consent to be part of a marriage where there's more than one of them, then I don't see how you can make an argument against it. And you're going to mishear me if you cut me off, because what I was saying was that we're all the property of God alone. No human could be owned by any other human being in property from a far theological perspective. And so if you do something that's a sin, you are using God's property against the consent of the owner, which is only the Creator. Not man, not women, no one else, no human being at all, no animal, only the Creator.
How far does sin extend? Sorry.
Can I just go back to this issue of whether we should boycott the World Cup?
No, please.
I think that unfortunately, it's too late. I do think we should have boycotted the World Cup. But I do think that it is an opportunity to use the World Cup in order to promote human rights. I think that's key. From my perspective, of course, LGBT rights in Qatar, the rights of migrant workers in Qatar, the rights of women in Qatar. But also, I think given the fact that there's a women's revolution in Iran, and that as we speak, the Iranian regime has brought weapons of war into Iranian Kurdistan, they are massacring people as we speak, and as this World Cup takes place, I think it would be a great act of solidarity to show support, the fans and the athletes to show support for the women's revolution.
What we're seeing with this banning that happened today, so FIFA have said that they are stopping players wearing the One Love armband. So actually, any freedom of expression or speech is being cut down. So actually, any sort of stance like this, it sounds like it's not going to be able to actually occur. So what do you make of that?
There's no rule against the team captains speaking out during their press conferences.
Yeah, agreed.
There was no rule against the Iranian team refusing to sing their national anthem. Mm-hmm. Hats off to them for that bravery and courage. That solidarity was
so
important.
And
we can all do things ourselves. We can all do things ourselves. We can amplify the voices for democracy and human rights in Qatar. Mm-hmm. Use our social media, talk to our friends and families, raise awareness. That's so easy to do. FIFA can't stop you.
Agreed.
FIFA would love to stop you, but they can't.
There needs to be a mobilised effort then, doesn't there? Because the armband was essentially that, and it's now been thwarted. So there needs to be something else.
But some footballers are persecuted for wearing the Palestinian kind of flags or armband or colours and so on and so forth. Or they're being political. Some even accuse them of being anti-Semitic. So we see that, even in the West, there is a denial of freedom of speech in many countries, and France is even worse than others. America, not so much. So, again, if we're going to speak out against freedom of speech being denied in Qatar, what have you, we'd have to do the same.
I think
in
we
the
should
West
start
too.
By refusing to accept stoning to death and then talk about freedom of speech, because I think the right to life and people not being buried in a ditch up to their chest and have
it's already illegal in the country.
Them.
I don't know what more you could ask for.
Illegal in which
country? Condemnation would be
in
nice.
Which country
your
is it illegal?
Would be lovely. That's something we're asking for.
Hold it. So, must I condemn my own religion to live here?
Well, that's your choice. Rather than it is your choice that you want. That you
there are lots of Muslims
that. That
who don't. There are lots of Muslims who don't accept stoning. In fact, some of the people who are stoned to death are Muslims themselves. So it is very possible to be a Muslim and not to support stoning.
If you go to the prisons
not
in
to
the
support
UK,
child marriage.
Most of the criminals there would probably disagree with the laws that put them in the first place.
We're back in the whataboutery there. Yes.
No. Be consistent. When you criticise someone else, have consistent principles.
You
it's
lose,
not whataboutery. I demand from you, madam,
you
and you, sirs, consistency when you criticise to hold to the same principles.
You
yourself.
Lose legitimacy when you cannot even condemn stoning. End of. Like, there is no further discussion.
Or lethal injection, or the French Republic,
well,
beheading people to 1972.
We're talking about executions.
Also, we can condemn that.
We're allowed to condemn that.
And there are Americans who don't, who say it's very humane.
And they are. They're also wrong.
And you know what you can do
by
in
your
America,
perspective, but not by those Americans.
But what you could do in America?
It's wrong to behead people. And that should be
universally. The French Republic beheaded people till 1973.
We're talking about 2022.
Until they abolished the death penalty. They said that beheading was the most humane way of executing
2022.
People.
2022.
Yes.
Are we in 2022?
Years on from that.
Sorry,
and also,
okay, sure.
I could vote out a government that does that. I mean, the democracy that we have isn't brilliant, but in these countries, you can't do that.
Sure, you can disagree. It's not a problem.
It's not about disagreeing.
Reason why.
It's about arguments. It's about the
just say, I assert that this is wrong. I assert
it's
this is right.
The,
give me arguments.
Right.
Don't give me rhetoric, please.
Because it's your belief. You just assert
all
that
you've given us
right.
is rhetoric.
You,
you
believe that stoning is right.
You
know, that's fine. You think people stoning to death is right. That's
yes,
Islamic
that's
law.
That's what you say.
That's what
no,
you say.
I believe that the state should have a monopoly on executions. Yeah. And with due evidence and due process.
And stoning can be one of them.
And many Americans would agree with me. So that's it.
What's battery? Again.
Okay, I was going to ask, are we any better? Is it hypocritical to criticise? Now, one thing I do want to just bring into this is that we're all very focused here on these armbands, for example, or, you know, taking the knee or what have you. But actually, our government, Johnson's government, did two trade deals with Qatar.
Totally.
We've taken £10 billion worth of their investment. We're also, you know, supplying the weapons that fall down in Yemen and kill innocent civilians and children and what have you. So, actually, where is our, like, are we right to criticise?
I think we have to make a distinction between governments and the public. I think governments, I have no faith in any government, to be honest, not the British government, because I think it comes down to a matter of money and interest. And very often, that money and interest is at odds with human rights. Mm-hmm. But I do have great faith in the public, and I think it is the public that can put pressure on both the Qatari government as well as the British government, on FIFA, to respect human rights. And I think that is what we need to do, is to get the public involved in taking a stand, because football is a game, of course, but it doesn't happen outside of a context. Mm-hmm. When there are massive human rights violations, we need to care about it.
And do you think that enough of that's happening now that we would never see the World Cup awarded again to one of these countries that's indexed really low down the human rights chain?
I'm so distressed to see that, you know, Greece and Saudi Arabia plan on doing a joint bid in a few years' time. Mm. And, I mean, that's awful, I think,
I think that I would agree with Maryam Namazi that, and if it's the only time,
that
we should make a distinction between governments and people. Unfortunately, again, she doesn't listen to her own principles or advice, if it does.
And someone because who wants stoning
I'm
cannot.
Talking now, madam.
So don't
please,
talk about
please
me.
Let me finish.
Don't talk about me.
You can respond.
No,
can
don't
respond,
say someone
please.
Like Maryam Namazi, because
you
defend stoning.
I'm saying not someone like you. I'm
you
saying you.
You defend stoning.
Now,
if I may finish my point, please.
Thank you.
You defend stoning.
So when it comes to Muslim countries, both her and Peter cite vigilante violence done by families to killing their children or what have you, and
state sanctioned.
They say, look how bad that is.
State sanctioned, they said.
Let me finish, right? But in the West, if a woman is raped and murdered, and the police don't really investigate it or don't even care, and there's been many cases, no one says, oh, that's an indictment against the entire UK society. Muslims seem to get this different treatment, whereby if vigilante violence done by criminals, which I'm calling them criminals. Done by criminals, Everyone gets the blame in that society. Whereas if vigilante violence is done in, or not vigilante violence, but criminal violence is done, or the Western definition of honor killings, crimes of passion, because that's somehow now different, then we say, oh, well, that's not the state to blame. And even if the police don't investigate it, and most rapes don't get prosecuted.
Feminists
in
are always
this
fighting.
Country,
feminists.
And yet you dare go and talk about women's rights
feminists
outside.
Are you
tell your own
fighting.
House first before you go talk about other
what
people's houses.
What a
feminists
shame that those
always
countries don't have the democracy in order to then show that if you're worried about Qataris not wanting to endorse these state-sanctioned pieces of violence that are being spoken about, well, what a shame. What a shame that the Muslims in Qatari can't vote out the government, can't vote out the royal family that is endorsing this stuff.
Well, you know what? I would agree that the Muslim world, after colonialism, we have these secular dictators, which we didn't choose, and they do oppress us and they do deny us ability to even preach Islam openly, is being denied in these self same countries, Saudi and so on, so Egypt. So in that sense, I support that Muslims in the Middle East should have the right and ability, the Islamic right, to speak the truth and to call to Islamic rights and principles against these governments, which are themselves the biggest breaches of Islamic rights and principles.
First of all, not everybody living in Qatar or Iran or Saudi Arabia are Muslims. And there are religious minorities, sexual minorities, and even when people are Muslim, they don't necessarily want Islamic law. And therefore, to call it the Muslim world is inaccurate in a large extent.
Muslim majority world, is that better?
Because even so, I have lots of family members who are Muslim. They don't agree with the Islamic regime of Iran. They don't agree with Saudi Arabia. They don't agree with the laws in Qatar. And I think the fact is that here in Britain, there are, of course, the police doesn't follow up on rape cases. A lot of rape cases don't get justice. But feminists are working against that. It's very different to saying that, well, that's the way our culture is in Qatar or under Islam. You know, in fact, under Sharia law, violence against women is considered legal and legitimate. It's in the Quran itself. Mm-hmm. Even in Sharia courts here, you have judges saying marital rape is not a crime because women are meant to be available to their husbands whenever they want. Something that happens not just in Iran, but under Sharia courts here in Britain as well. So it's not true to say that it happens everywhere. Even if it happens everywhere, we can still focus on rights violations in one place and condemn it. That is a problem that people like Andalusi have. They are so busy defending Islam and Islamism at the expense of human rights. The point is not that we're saying things are perfect in the West. Of course they're not. The West is definitely responsible for actually bringing Islamism to center stage in places like Iran, because during the Soviet Union, they wanted an Islamic belt around the Soviet Union at the time. They thought it was the greatest bulwark against communism. But the point is that we should be able to condemn things that violate rights. You may not be gay, you may not even like gay people, but you do not have a right to persecute, imprison, torture, kill gay people, and to have that as part of the law and public policy. That is the difference and the distinction.
Because she's made claims about Islam now, very briefly. So I'll start with women first. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not, what do you say about our wives? He said,
our women.
Do not insult them and do not abuse or hit them. Right? He said this.
What's
right?
Surah al-Nisa?
This is the narration by the Prophet Muhammad.
Is there not a line in the Quran that says beat them?
Yes. And didn't Prophet Muhammad himself in a hadith.
Have I misinterpreted that?
No, you haven't.
Well, let's look at the cases that applies.
He doesn't want to please plainly.
He can't.
Because to fully explain it without misrepresentation, I need a few more minutes, right? So if you give me that, I will happy to explain it. But that was the first point. The Prophet Muhammad said this, so that's pretty much an authority.
Actually, stoning to death is
secondly,
based on Muhammad's
secondly,
own request.
Secondly,
Muhammad himself stoned
if I may, if I may finish
death.
Again, Mariam, I know you're very fired up. With regards to minorities and non-Muslims, Islamic law does not apply It says it does not apply to non-Muslims. Christians used to get their own religious laws. Jews got their own religious laws. Zoroastrians got their own religious laws. Even if we disagree with them.
We're asking about violence now, against women.
May I?
I know.
She's not happy because I'm giving facts now about. I'm giving more nuances.
I'll be honest, okay? Abdullah. I wish you would just answer directly.
I know, but let me respond. Firstly, I wanted to respond, and then you can't just say before you can respond to her, you have to answer my questions. Let me give a response, and then I will answer. I'm happy to answer.
Provides a lot of answers.
Well, let me answer what she said, and then I'll answer your question. I promise.
About violence against women.
If I may, Islam doesn't enforce Sharia on non-Muslim minorities. Historically, they had their own court systems. They even had their own police. Right. So Islam is multi. You could say it's only truly multicultural. Her organization has called for one law for all, because in the secular systems there can't be multiple law systems. There has to be one law for all, usually determined by the majority.
And hence, in
secular nation states, there's always a problem between the majority lording it over the minorities.
What about violence against women?
Dictating the majority's values over minority values. Where in Islam, everyone gets their own law system.
What about violence against women?
Defined by their own values. That is true multicultural.
What about Surah Nisa?
I want to answer your question. Yeah, and Surah Nisa. So if I may, right? But I'm going to need a minute because I can't just explain.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to give you 30 seconds because we are running out of time. We need one more question to ask.
Okay, so the cases by which it says that if a woman is guilty, it kind of commits nushuls, which is an Arabic term. In essence, so let's say there's the definitions, please.
Right,
definitions. So let's say there's a case. So there's a blanket prohibition on men even insulting the women or hitting women. But there's this case where if a woman commits nushuls. Right, so let's say she's basically in a saucepan and she's basically whacking her husband around the head with it, which would be nushuls, right? Then he can use appropriate force to restrain her from doing so. That's what it refers to in the Arabic word nushuls is referring to things like that. Okay. Now, if you just read it contextually,
that's your interpretation of.
I mean, the Islamic scholar Yusuf al-Qaradawi made it very clear that in Islamic law and interpretation, husbands have a right to beat their wives if they are disobedient. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, women must submit to husbands.
But now if they don't submit
to their husbands, the husband has a right to beat
them. The word nushuls means like a rebellion, like it's a...
disobedience.
To such extent,
it's disobedience.
With that being a particular case. However, she mentioned something else about marital rape. Well, let me finish. About the marital rape issue, right?
No. Do you mind if we just respond to that
as well?
Because rebellion, you just said that word nushuls was around a woman being violent towards a man and restraining her. But now you've just said, actually, you've clarified that word means rebellion. Yes. Well, rebellion isn't the woman hitting the man.
It has a linguistic sense, and then it has an Islamic.
So what do you mean by rebellion?
Islamic legal
disobedience.
Sense.
Disobedience.
The illegal. Yeah, yes. And a woman.
If a woman gets violent,
a woman
gets.
Okay, one
person
at a time, please.
If I may, please. Right? Why are you so worried about what I'll say? You keep speaking over me, right?
I'm not worried about what you say, but I just don't want you to waffle.
Basically, the baseline is that men are prohibited from even using verbal insult. In the West, you can verbally insult your partner, and it's not against the law. In Islamic law, it's against the law to insult your partner, right? The Prophet Muhammad prohibited the beating of women.
Also that women should beat the man is prohibited. Stoning.
But if a woman begins to beat her husband or abuse him, then the Quran talks about reasonable force.
Okay, we need to.
And as for marital rape, there is again. You're trying to impose language.
It's incorrect.
In Islam, men and women have a mutual right to each other's bodies. However, here's the point: you can't gain that by physical assault or physical violence. Okay, but that's the difference. So just because you have a right, an Islamic moral right, doesn't mean it can be gained any which way.
Like the Sharia judge here said, can't call it marital rape. Calling it a rape is the actual act of aggression. Because in a marriage, there's no such thing as rape because men have
rights over their wives. You are lying.
No, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to move on to the final question.
Rape would be violent assault, okay. And that is prohibited.
Bullshit. I think, goodness me, I'm disobedient with my husband every day, probably.
Well, you're lucky you're not, you know, in a Muslim majority.
Well, just disagree, it's not rebellion.
Final question, yeah, sure. And I think we only have a short amount of time on this, but we're, again, steering away from LGBT, steering away from stoning.
Any human rights. Let's not talk about human rights.
Yes, is the whole thing, the World Cup in Qatar, is it just an exercise in PR? Like Dubai, Qatar needs to diversify from oil and gas, starting to run a bit dry. So are they looking for another boost here via international tourism? I know for me, what I will say is actually the World Cup being held in Qatar has highlighted to me all of the things that I don't quite like. It has put me off going there. So actually, it's had the counter effect. Mm. But was this an exercise in PR to get more people going there on their holidays? Mm. Did it work?
There's absolutely no doubt that Qatar saw the World Cup as a chance to burnish its international image, mm, to sell itself as a holiday destination, as a way to get investment and to encourage other countries to allow it to invest in them as well. Mm. It's been a business model from the very get-go. But thankfully, because of the human rights issues being raised, that has now gone down the swanny, mm-hmm, and quite rightly. I mean, I love Qatar. I love Qatari people. I just don't like dictatorship. Mm-hmm. I don't like human rights abusers. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Qatar could have actually made some modest reforms which may have alleviated some of the criticisms, but they didn't even try. Since they got the World Cup in 2010, despite the promises that it would be an agent for reform, there's been not a single reform on women's rights, not a single reform on LGBT plus rights, and only patchy marginal reforms in reality for migrant workers. Mm. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Are you going on holidays to Qatar anytime soon?
Well, I don't. I've never chosen to spend my money on these sorts of regimes. I would never go to a place like that, and I'll just return to the point I made at the start, that these sorts of events, the Olympics, the World Cup, it legitimises places that have terrible human rights, and there needs to be a way in which these sporting organisations sign up to independent human rights organisations that say, look, if you don't have... It's almost I could get my head around it if they had a democratic system and the people there said, well, this is actually what we want. But because there's no means in many of these countries for the people, and you're right, the people in state are different, because there's no means in these countries for the people to say, actually, we don't like it this way, unfortunately, democracy has got to be a big part of that human rights conversation. And the bottom 30% of countries, they simply do not get a look in. They cannot bid. They don't get to bid and then say they'll improve.
So this is actually part of the attraction, Christo. So actually what a FIFA spokesperson said, and this is an article I read today, actually it's easier for them dealing with less democratic countries, mm-hmm, because they get to just push things through quicker. Mm-hmm. There's less of a process by committee, for example. So they see it as a plus, which explains why we've got Qatar having this World Cup. And also, don't forget, Russia. Yeah. Had the last World Cup. Russia had the last World Cup in 2018, 4 years after they invaded Crimea. Mm.
And they got the Winter Olympics
Beijing, though, interestingly, was boycotted. Beijing was boycotted this year. The Winter Olympics was boycotted by UK, USA, Australia, another country, I can't remember. And yet, we didn't mobilise and we didn't do that this time around.
Well, as Winston Churchill said, I think it was Winston Churchill, I might be wrong actually, Britain does not have permanent allies, just permanent interests. And those interests are only somewhat aligned with principles where it is convenient for many of these Western countries to have principles. But when it's with a rich ally that can benefit them, then they don't care so much.
And our hypocrisy on that is a very fair point. Our hypocrisy on one hand condemning when we have a terror attack in the name of radical Islam in this country that kills, say, gay people, we're absolutely up in arms about it, so but then we will
in
quite...
In this country? Sorry, there was a terror attack that killed gay people in this country?
Yes, there was a Reading attack which killed three gay men who were sitting on a common in the name of radical Islam, yet we will be horrified when we... that was about 3-4 years ago, something like that. But then
we're talking about the Soho attacks where a far-right guy... nail bombs.
That was 29 years ago. That was the Admiral Duncan, and that was a far-right terror attack. But what we don't do, what we do then is we will witness these absolutely awful Islamist attacks in this country when that happens to gay people, yet we'll then trade with the countries that decide to execute them when they're one and the same thing, as far as I'm concerned. They are radical and they are wrong.
Well, again, I'd object to the term Islamist because it implies that Islam condones terror attacks when Islam has rules of warfare that prohibit the killing of non-combatants. And it is a agreed upon upon all schools of thought in Islam that killing a non-combatant or such as terror attacks involve is categorically prohibited. Osama bin Laden made an argument. Osama bin Laden. His argument was, if you see there was a book that compiled his sayings. He argued that the West doesn't care about civilians when it bombs Muslim countries. So he argued that he has permission to imitate the West in using Western tactics against themselves. That was his argument. He said that the Quran. He knows what the Quran says. He knows what the Prophet Muhammad said.
You disagree with that?
Well, he goes against the Quran and Prophet Muhammad by his own admission. But he said that he has special permission to do so because the West, he's retaliating to the West against their injustice. And so he will adopt their tactics. And I'm against adopting the Western tactics, which are brutal and monstrous against non-combatants. Bombing civilians, I think, is wrong.
Thank goodness we can vote out the governments to do that.
Can I just add something, which is interesting? Because Islamists say that they do not attack non-combatants. But actually, politically, they say that everyone, for example, in Israel is a combatant. And therefore, that's how it's again that sort of double speak and whataboutry, which justifies their jihad and their terrorism. No. But going back to the point of Qatar again and human rights, I think one of the issues is that why maybe mobilization was not as strong with this regards is because of this sort of bogus accusations of Islamophobia. Where any criticism of Islam, which is a belief, and all beliefs should be open to criticism, and criticism of far-right movements, which is what the Islamists are, is very often equated with bigotry against Muslims. And, of course, that's not the case. You can oppose the Christian right. You're not attacking Christians.
You want to ban the burqa.
You support stoning, so I wouldn't talk if I was you.
You want to ban the burqa. You want to ban Muslim women's rights.
You want to choose to wear the burqa and niqab.
Okay.
Irrelevant.
Defend violence against
women. So again, spare us your hypocrisy, Maria, please.
You have no right to speak about rights.
We've gone full circle, and that has been a very...
Don't do it. It's embarrassing for you.
I think this is... Okay, I think that's...
And she's wrong about the Israel thing as well, but we don't have time.
Let's just end it there. This has been the most, how can I call it, passionate... lively discussion that we've had, but that is all that we have time for tonight. So thank you so much for watching and for the very lively debate, very heated. It's been quite a debate at the table, and I don't think we're leaving all agreeing, but what did you think? Did anyone change your mind and get you thinking? Let us know in the comments. And we'll see you back here at the table next week. Good night.